You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Good morning, DCR.
The number one pick and a Super Bowl champ with the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
Cut him every trash, DMT for short. Wonder if we best, why don't you peep the score? Sports Center Re, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time, we provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And a good the Monday, July the 19th, 2021. The show that you have fallen in love with this early hour is DCR. Dave Rothenberg, Chris Canty, Rick DiPietro. We have so much to do. The Mets salvage what could have been one of the worst weekends in franchise history, and that's saying a lot. Yankees with a nice Saturday and Sunday. There's some Dame Lillard questions. Friend of the show, Colin Morikawa, wins, I don't care, I'm going to say it, the British Open. I'm proud of him for that. Lot to do. And we say good morning to the guys. Good morning. Which way do I go? Chris Canty, good morning to you. How are you?
I'm doing great, Dave. Had a great weekend. Had a chance to play some golf with the old man. Did a little bit of fishing. So all in all, I'm doing great this morning. I'm in a great mood. Probably not as much excitement my weekend for this weekend as much as RJ Santillo at the bachelor party in New Orleans, but it was a good weekend for me.
Oh, we're in one with him. And I'll get into that in a second. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
I'm all right, Dave. I'm disgusted with you, to be honest.
With me?
Yeah, I'm disgusted with you.
Why are you disgusted with me?
Well, you asked that stupid question at the end of the week. Would you
really
be disappointed?
I mean, you shut up. Hey, here's what's going to happen now. Here's what's going to happen now. And it's 5:01 and you're starting already on a Monday morning. Anytime you have what I deem to be a misstep, we're stopping the show and we're going to destroy you for it. But go ahead, continue.
No, it was a stupid question.
No, all right, fine. It was a dumb question. That's fine. Go ahead.
Awful question. And now it's a chain of events that you've set off because of that dumb question. I got Lindor gets hurt, oblique. Who knows how long that's going
to take. It's my fault?
That's your fault.
Oh, give me a break.
He's just starting to figure it out offensively. Now he's out. I got DeGrom. He's got forearm tightness now. Who knows how long he's going to be out?
Also my fault, huh?
The wheels are falling off, Dave, and it's your fault.
How dare you? This is misplaced, is what you're doing. If there was a therapist here on the show, they would say you are misplacing your anger. You're angry with the Mets, and you're taking it out on me. It's a terrible way to live a life.
Diaz blows another save.
Did you see? I got so angry with this. I saw one of the beat reporters said that Rojas said in the post-game press conference, a big reason he couldn't close that game out, he missed the just emotional support of Lindor at shortstop.
Wow.
That's better than the emotional support horse that we've talked about and did it happen in Florida that people are bringing on planes.
I don't know how you go on the record as a manager and you say something like that.
Isn't that gross?
That's disgusting. I mean, not only are you throwing Edwin Diaz under the bus in terms of his mental fragility, but I mean, just overall, I mean, if you're the manager and you recognize your guy needs a little bit of a pick-me-up, why wouldn't you be the one to do that? And then furthermore, why would you let the media behind the curtain and tell him that? That's a bad look.
I thought it was awful.
Especially because we're already nervous about Diaz.
Right. So now you got to be more nervous because he doesn't have his support animal out there at shortstop?
Wow.
It's amazing.
Really?
That's back-to-back blown saves for him, too.
Oh, God.
Here's the other thing, too.
How about the fact, the second the ball is hit on Saturday.
Yeah, he gives it to Victor Robles.
I'm like, oh, God, that's gone. And he's pointing like, pop up.
Yep, that's the Victor Robles pop up.
And I'm like, wait, wow. As it's happening, it feels like it's taking 10 minutes. And I'm thinking to myself, how am I so confused that I think it's hammered and he thinks it's a pop up?
Worst moment, that moment that you're describing right now, or the Taiwan Walker with the
first
foul
inning.
Ball that was actually fair?
Well, we won that game. Both.
Yeah,
that was one of the worst
but
first
at least
innings.
They won.
I'm
not just saying the actual moment. Which one made you feel worse?
The Grand Slam.
The Grand Slam.
I'll tell you why. Because I thought the game was over on Saturday and they were going to win. I mean, they were already down 3-0, bases loaded in that first inning yesterday.
Well, you thought the game was over yesterday and they gave you a pleasant surprise.
That was unbelievable.
Yeah.
That was unbelievable.
Nice time for Michael Conforto to hit a home run.
But that was all about the bullpen. Bomb. Yeah, but that was all about the bullpen. Their bullpen was great yesterday.
Pirates very Mets-like, right? Score six
very
in the first
Mets-like.
And don't score another run.
Here's the thing, too, with that Diaz home run. How does Stallings hit that ball? Was like a foot inside.
It was unbelievable.
And he kept it fair. And then Pilar, I give him credit, man.
Oh, my God.
He
almost came into my living room. Wall be damned. I'm going through everything.
I don't want to get too far in the weeds, though. Here's the other thing I didn't understand that situation. Lugo had nothing. Lugo was terrible in the eighth.
God, was he bad.
But you already had Loop up. I mean, the guy, Defoe is the one that ends up hurting you in that inning. He's much better lefty than he is righty. You know what I mean? Like, why not bring in that spot? Loop was already up. Why not bring him in and have them make the decision? As opposed to keep Lugo in there.
That was an awful inning.
Awful inning.
And you're up 6-0.
6-0. And then, to make it even better, is that now you make it, instead of 6-5, you make it 7-5. You give him a two-run cushion going into the ninth.
That's right.
And we blew it.
And he couldn't get it done. Oh, God. Now we're back to the point where he's going to get you terrified every single time he takes the mound.
Yeah, I mean, that's back-to-back. I mean, you saw who closed the game yesterday. I mean, May closed it yesterday.
He did.
That's not how you want to start an inning either, too. We're gonna hit Hayes, and then we're gonna go first and second, no outs. No, it's not great. Then now we got to deal with DeGrom and Lindor being hurt.
Again. With
just as we're getting healthy, just as we started to get healthy, Stroman again was okay. I didn't think Stroman was great.
What is Stroman doing, by the way? I mean,
what,
I don't understand.
Almost puking?
All that chirping back and forth
about to start
a team fight, a team brawl. Like, stop it. Stop it.
Nagowski's a little bit chirpy, which is, I mean, that's
what Stroman is all a 5'8", man. Stop. You're not going to do anything. Just go back in the dugout. It doesn't make sense to do that.
Here's what you can't do, though, is that get all chirpy like that and then get yourself so worked up that you almost vomit on the field.
Exactly.
That's not what you want.
Come on, man.
That's not what you want. So he was just okay. And then Walker was a disaster.
Brutal.
Disaster. And what are we doing, though? I mean, that ball is way too close to just be slapping.
Well, he slapped and then they stood there.
And then standing there.
And then they stand there.
Finish the play.
I got to be honest.
I tell you, since Little League, finish the damn play. Finish the play.
First thought, I was fully convinced it was foul. Like 100%. And when I watched it on slow-mo replay, I don't know. I think it might have been fair.
No, it was fair. The ball was on the chalk.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, how could you not think it was foul the way Rojas came out?
Well,
he was belly
someone.
To belly.
I thought he was going to kill someone.
he's a big dude. He's in good shape.
Well, it took multiple umpires to hold him back. He was livid.
And he was just bellying up the ump. The ump was having
furious.
Nothing. He was playing. He was giving him the silent treatment.
But you know what's amazing? This is like me in an argument with my wife. He's clearly wrong. It was on the chalk. I don't know how it was, but it was on the chalk. And he's still arguing. Let's take a listen. He still believes at this very moment that this was a foul ball. Here's Mets manager Luis Rojas.
I still think. I mean, we can agree to disagree or whatever, but that's. I still think, just looking at it. So, but, I mean, there was a call. It stood, and the game was played. We won. You know, the guys are celebrating. But, you know, once again, you're asking me about the play. That's what I think.
How is it possible? I mean, I thought so, too. I saw it on replay. I'm like, no, you know what? That was a fair ball. He's still standing by the fact that's a foul ball.
Agree to disagree. Well, not only that, I mean, even if it's, listen, I get what you're doing. Because, I mean, that's if the ball is foul like that, and it looks like it has any chance to start to make its way back fair, is that you touch it or you push it and make sure the umpire knows that it's a foul ball. But that ball is way too close. And then, on top of it, you compound the problem by seeing the umpire, the home plate ump, rules it fair, and then you just stand around in three-run score on a swinging
bunt. That was a Little League kind of play. Did you? And I don't know if we have it, and if we do not, maybe RJ can grab it. Did you hear the Pirates play-by-play voice calling this?
No, I didn't hear that.
Oh, yeah, I did hear that, Dave. I did hear it.
Yeah, I mean, Chris, honestly, if I said what happened here, you would have said, oh, my God, they won Game 7 of the World Series, right?
Yeah. Like, yes, it was that level, Dave. It was like Minnesota Miracle level. That's how ecstatic they were.
I mean, they must have just every game must be like watching paint dry. I mean, he went nuts over that happening.
Do we have the sound?
Oh, I'm sure we'll grab it. I don't think we have it at this moment.
Oh, okay,
It's insane. Yeah. I mean, he's screaming. He's yelling. He can't believe it. You have it, Santi?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
They said to go, go, go. It's a fair ball! It's a fair ball! Oh, my goodness! It's a fair ball! Do you believe this? It's still in play! Pirates score 3! Oh, my gosh! We've seen it all now! We've seen it all! Taiwan Walker! There goes Rojas. He might not be the first. He just bumped the home plate umpire.
Oh, my God.
He takes over as the manager. Look at this.
Oh, my goodness. Now you've seen it all. What kind of call is that?
It's the Pirates. They got 36 wins, Dave. I mean, they're a bad team.
If you didn't know better, you would have thought they what? Just won the division, though? Right?
It's the small wins. They just scored 6 in the first on three on a swinging bunt. One of the worst played innings you've ever seen in your life. And they won the game. I mean, they kind of deserved it after what they did the day before.
Oh, God.
They've had up 9 runs in 2 innings.
We give the Yankees a hard time. How about what the Mets have had loss-wise in the last week and a half, huh? The Sunday before the All-Star game. Saturday night, almost yesterday.
Well, they had the same amount of wins. I mean, well, we've said this for the last how many weeks? I mean, this isn't like, you know, the Mets are having this amazing season, and then they're first in the National League East. The Mets are having an okay season, and their division's not very good.
A decent season.
But both teams have 48 wins. Both teams have 48 wins right now.
Yeah, but the Mets' record is better than the Yankees.
By 2 losses because they played less games.
All right, well.
Yeah, who's got the better run differential? Oh, yeah, that's the Yankees.
That ain't saying much.
And now all of a sudden we got starting pitching issues.
Well, big time. Oh, Jared Eichhoff with the start today.
Yeah, and then we got we have TBD for the following game. That's not what you want.
No.
I mean, two spots out of your 5.
Eichhoff and then uncertainty? No. After getting one out from the starter the day before?
From your all-star.
Right?
From your all-star. From one of your all-stars, yeah.
Not good.
No, it's not good at all. And now, I mean, this is something that Jake's dealt with. He's dealt with something, it feels like, all year.
Because there's been something all year long. And I guess he attributed every injury he's had to swinging the bat. Did you see this?
Yes.
And he said this is the first one that he's convinced is not from swinging the bat. I don't know how you couldn't be concerned about him right now.
Well, I think you have to be.
I have to be terrified.
I mean, it's been pretty much his whole right side, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have lat, shoulder, back, now forearm. And this is something that hasn't gone away. Like, I mean, again, that's what makes you nervous, is that he threw before the All-Star break and felt the tightness. And then, you know, he finally comes back and, you know, tries to throw another side. Same kind of tightness, never went away. And it's another MRI that shows nothing, no structural damage. So, I mean, this is the price you pay when you throw as hard as Jake throws.
That there's always going to be something that's kind of wrong with you?
Well, I hope not that there's always something wrong with you, but I mean
it's been like that all season long?
Yeah, but this is as consistently hard as we've seen him throw. Like, this is unseen, unheard of what he's doing right now, as far as his velocity, on a regular basis. Like, I mean, go back to that Padres game. What was it, 33 pitches, 100-plus?
Yep. 33-80, I think, right?
For a starter? You know what I mean? Like, that kind of velocity that often from a starter? Your average fastball up close to 100 miles an hour? That's insane. So I guess this is the price you pay for that. But, I mean, the Mets can't afford to have him out for an extended period of time. They can't.
No, but he's on the IL, and I guess it could be quick, right? But I don't know. It just doesn't feel right. It feels like I'm always waiting for the other shoe to drop with DeGrom this season.
Yeah, the thing that I worry about, Dave, is just that the organization has allowed him to have so much latitude in determining when he's going to come back and pitch. Like, at some point, you have to be concerned that you're going to lose him to a long-term injury. And with this team at the point they're at now, they can't afford to deal with a Jacob DeGrom absence for any extended period of time. And so it's like, okay, like, you got to protect the player from himself just to make sure that you have him for the long haul. Like, the thing that worries me is that they've kind of just left Jake to his own devices, and that kind of leaves you in this space where he's dealing with something every few weeks, and you've got to hold your breath. So, I mean, that's the one thing that worries me. I mean, Rojas did come out and say that they're not going to let him do anything until the discomfort subsides. But at the same time, it's like one of those things where Jacob DeGrom has dictated a lot of, you know, him when he's going to come back and pitch from injury. And I don't know that that's the right approach that the organization should have.
Well, I don't know what they're supposed to do. I mean, they keep sending him for MRIs. I mean, how do you...
And they're clean.
And it's clean. So, I mean, you're really going off how, you know, what he's telling you, how he feels. Because there's nothing, I mean, there's nothing tangible that you can see in any of these MRIs.
Yeah, but the one thing that you can say that you tangibly have seen is that he's dealing with something every few weeks. It's something every few weeks with Jacob DeGrom.
Oh, so what do you want to do, shut him down? You just said you can't shut him down. I mean, you're going to...
No, what I'm saying is you shut him down for a couple of weeks, and then you have him there available. The worst thing that you can do is allow him to try to pitch through something, and then you're talking about him being out for months. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to say you need to try to avoid. That's the only thing. I'm not even a Mets fan, but I feel like that's the worry that you have to have just because there have been so many different things that have popped up with Jake this season. Now, he's in the midst of having an all-time great year, and you'd hate to do anything to kind of keep him from being able to see where that would end. But at the same time, we say this all the time on this show, you got to protect the player from himself. It feels like this is one of those instances.
Yeah, but there's only so much you can do to protect the player. I mean, how much time has he had off? I mean, for the All-Star break?
He's had a ton.
He's had a ton of time off, and it's something he's dealing with.
He pitched, the Wednesday before the All-Star game?
Yeah, and he didn't pitch Sunday.
Right. And I'm sure this is bothering him.
Well, yeah, and he said in that side session, he started to feel the tightness in his forearm. But remember, there was talk that if they needed him, he would pitch. You know, he could come in a tight spot and pitch an inning. That way he wouldn't, I mean, it'd be a better excuse not to go to the All-Star game.
Right. So he'll have pitched now, not pitched for 2 weeks on Wednesday of this week.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what you do with these kind of injuries. I just don't know if it's something shutting him down helps. Just because of, you know, how hard he throws.
I don't know. But to say I'm concerned would be an understatement. A tremendous understatement.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
7 weeks from Thursday, Canty. 7 weeks from Thursday.
I can't wait, Dave. I'm so fired up about it. What do we have, the Hall of Fame game against the Cowboys and the Steelers to kind of get things going a little bit?
Yeah, I think that's August 5th, right?
Yeah.
I think that's the date.
That's right around the corner, Dave.
And then we have Hard Knocks with the Cowboys, which should be terrific.
Now, hopefully it goes a lot better for them this season than it did the last time they had Hard Knocks.
I just want a lot of Jerry Jones. That's what I want.
A lot of Jerry Jones. A lot of Dak Prescott comeback stuff too, right?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Rehab from the ankle.
But he's likable. Jerry, in my mind, unlikable, and that's why I hope he's really front and center with the Hard Knocks.
Okay.
I'm sure Jerry wants just as much of Jerry on Hard Knocks as you do.
I think he wants more than I'm looking for.
Yeah, he's the only GM in the league that does post-game press conferences from outside the locker room.
Down on the sideline during the second half of the game. Yeah, very interesting. Anyway, all right, let's get to the Yankees. Chris, Friday night. I mean, just a disaster, right? Saturday, yeah. I can't believe they played that game on Saturday. I still think that's embarrassing. But
we'll take it, Dave.
Right.
We'll take the wins any way we can get them, Dave.
That's what I'm saying.
Right? Let's not look at the details. Yankees won 2 or 3 this weekend. It was really, really a team that wasn't very recognizable, both in terms of the personnel they had out there, but also with the style of play. I mean, you had guys going out there with hitting runs, going first to third, laying down bunts, sack flies, stolen bases. Like That's not what the Yankees have shown in the first half. That's not who they're supposed to be. But I guess when you got guys like Greg Allen and Ryan Lamar and Trey Amburgie in the lineup, you got to do what you got to do. And I mean, listen, they took two or three from the team that's leading the division right now. They cut that down to a seven game lead in the AL East, but also in the wild card for that second wild card spot is 3.5 games. So, I mean, if they can continue to trend in this direction, play good baseball, setting up to be a big weekend set against the Red Sox again, like I feel good about this team showing a sense of urgency coming out of the All-Star break the way that they did this past weekend.
Yeah, Major League Baseball doesn't want the Yankees out of the race. They gotta find a way to keep the Yankees in it.
What? Call the game after we get two home runs on Saturday.
Call the game after six. That the Vasquez check swing with the bases loaded. That clearly was a check swing.
Oh, clearly.
Little help on the Sanchez home run.
And you throw the ball at Verdugo.
Yeah, well, right. Well,
that's an embarrassment. That's an embarrassment.
You're banned for life now. I don't understand what
does that mean?
What's the beginning?
How can you get banned for life from going to a Major League stadium?
I'm sure that, I mean, your pitcher's going to be sent out, I would imagine.
And you think every security guard at every Major League Baseball stadium is going to be sitting there with a picture of that guy?
No, probably not, no.
Okay.
No, but it sounds good when you say it.
That sounds great. Why would a harsh penalty? He's banned for life.
Banned for life.
Probably going to be watching the Mets-Reds tonight, the third row.
I wonder how Yankees fans feel today about their manager that they can't stand and wish was fired. Seem to be pulling the right strings this weekend. I mean, can't he mention it? Stealing bases, hitting runs. I can't imagine those guys were just called up, had green lights whenever they wanted them.
No, not at all. And the Yankees had every excuse to be able to lay down to the Red Sox with all of the stuff they're dealing with COVID. All the guys that they got out on the IL. Like they could have laid down this weekend, and that's not what they did. So, I mean, if you want to put all of those bad losses on Aaron Boone, you got to give him some credit for what they did this weekend.
Yeah, Chapman get a 1-2-3 inning.
Credit.
Well, how could you not? I mean, did any Yankee fan have to see what happened? I mean, going into that series? Then you even lose. I mean, you lose the Castro. He tears his ACL.
Yeah, he's done.
I mean, you can't keep an outfielder healthy.
Ryan Lamar tried to hurt himself yesterday.
Yeah, a couple times. Out in right field and then slide, stealing second. Not the greatest slide you've ever seen in your life. But
No,
they found a way, man. They found a way.
I give the Yankees a lot of credit for this weekend. Because Friday night, you were dormant. You get, it was embarrassing, to be honest with you. Eduardo Rodriguez with an ERA over 5 blanks you, and you can't score a run. And then you have Cole, and, you look at that as a real gut check game, and they came back, and there was a lot of emotion and adrenaline. I really do. I'm hard on the Yankees. I think we all are, but I think you have to give them a lot of credit for these last two games.
We got to look at the positives, too. Some really important positives, right? Chris, you mentioned the numbers. Division, yeah, you cut a game into that. I mean, you're looking more towards, we'll see what happens in the next set against the Red Sox. But, 3.5 is, with a whole second half, is not crazy. Right, mm-hmm. It's not crazy to think that this Yankees team can make a push, but they weren't going to make a push unless Gerrit Cole turns back into Gerrit Cole. And the last couple starts from him have been awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Tyone, same thing.
He was great last night.
Yep, and then Chad Green came in and did exactly what he needed to do. And then Chapman gave you the 1-2-3 inning. Right, still a little bit too much, hard contact, but that's fine. I mean, it's baby steps with him. And Gleyber Torres, home runs in back-to-back games.
Did you see the last time he hit home runs in back-to-back games?
2019.
Yeah, 2 years.
Yeah. Oh, he had one home run in his previous 42 games. So, that was a huge thing with him, is where did his power go? Talk about a guy who, coming off a season in 2019 where he had 38 home runs, had 6 in 2 years.
Right. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing is right. But, he's, now, he's probably not going to be what he was in 2019 just because the juice baseballs and everything else. But, if this was the switch flipped for him a little bit and he starts to get himself going, and then eventually when you get... Well,
especially
you need him
now.
Oh, yeah.
Because
you absolutely need
him. You don't have Joe. This outfield is... I didn't even know the... What was their starting outfield last night? Do you guys know what it actually was? Rick, you know it, right?
You had...
Allen.
You had Lamar, and was it Ambergy?
Yeah, he got hurt.
Yeah, I don't think I knew any of those guys existed a couple months ago.
Well, no, they've been in Scranton. Allen actually, the fact that Allen switch hits too and he can run, that's the interesting thing, though, is, we take all the phone calls, and even us during the offseason, like some of the things that you would have done if you were Brian Cashman, just to add some versatility to this lineup. Now, they were forced into it. I get it. Just because, I mean, you got to use what you have. But there's something to be said about having the ability to do the things they did yesterday. To put pressure on the other team. To make the defense make plays. Like, I mean, Odor goes first to third. Now, if the throw beats him there. But again, I mean, throw gets bounced. He ends up safe. But it's the idea. Let's make the defense make a play. Like, let's have that ability. Let's be able to hit and run. If we need to steal a base, we can steal a base.
And then actually score when you get on third base. How about that?
Exactly right.
The sack fly last night. Yeah. You're right. I mean, that they played well. They're playing well. It's two games of good small ball kind of baseball. Here is Aaron Boone on playing small ball because of some of the holes in the lineup right now.
Some of the players we do have in the lineup now that can play that game and are capable of that. So you got to be able to adapt, you know, based on personnel and things like that. And the guys did a really good job tonight of, you know, doing some small things that added up big for us.
But that's not something new, though. That's what I don't understand. I'm sure Aaron Boone knows that. Like, deep down in Aaron Boone's heart, he's been around the game his entire life. Like, I'm sure he knows that. Every coach I've ever had will say exactly what Aaron Boone just said. Make sure you focus on the little things. Because when you do the little things, they add up to big things. And for some reason, I don't know if it's just they can't or they don't want to, but, I mean, driving a runner home from third with one out is something that you need to be able to do. Running the bases is something that you need to be able to do.
And they did it great.
Making routine defensive plays is something that you need to be able to do. And that's not something that this Yankees team has done at all.
No. This has been a very disappointing season. Up until the last couple of games, they played really well. Let's go to Brian in Milburn. Brian, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, how you doing? I love last night's baseball game. It had some real action in it, button hitting behind the runners. I loved it. I think, you know, I like that brand of baseball, but they not allow Boone to play that brand of baseball with the players that he has. They just not, but I would like to see that more often.
No, you're not going to be able to see it more often. Once this team gets healthy, you're not going to see it.
Yeah, so that's
you're
going
to go back
do.
To your three-run homer kind of play, right?
Well, yeah, that's what your lineup's going to be. I mean, unless they decide to keep...
That's frustrating, though.
Unless you keep Allen up because he's a switch hitter. But he's the only guy, really, that's going to be in that lineup once you're fully healthy.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to see it either. I mean, the organization's philosophy is we want guys with a lot of slug, we want them to get on base, and then we want guys to be able to drive them in with extra base hits. Like, that's what their personnel would dictate. That's going to be the guys that the Yankees are relying on. So while last night was great to see, it's not going to be this philosophical change in the middle of the season in terms of how they want to play offense, how they want to manufacture runs. That's not going to happen. They're just doing that last night because that's what they had to do in order to compete. That was out of necessity more so than them having a moment where they feel like they need to adjust course in terms of how they want to play.
It almost hammers home the point of how poorly they're put together then. If like last night you watch and you're so attracted to what they're putting on the field, and ordinarily they're just incapable of doing that, then how poorly are they put together in the first place?
Yeah, but I think that's more of an outlier than anything, though, Dave. I mean, it's not. I mean, to try to consistently string together three hits to score runs or steal second or whatever bunt single from Odor, like that's not. You're not going to have that every single night, but the really good teams have the ability to do something like that when they need to do it.
You know what it felt like to me, though? It felt like, especially Saturday, what was it? They were down 1-0 Saturday. It was dormant. You felt like they were DOA. And Allen had the double, right?
Yep.
Double. Then LeMahieu has the good at-bat. He singles him in. And it felt, for the first time in a long time, that there was like some energy and juice in that Yankees clubhouse, in that Yankees dugout. Like they were actually excited. They were actually into it. I can't tell you the last time I looked at the Yankees and thought to myself, they care. They're really into it, and there's really some juice in that dugout right now.
Well, who's your juice guy? You know what I mean? Like, it's a veteran team with humongous expectations. Like, that Yankees jersey is a heavy jersey, especially when you're not playing well. So you get some youthful exuberance in there. I mean, it's always nice to have that kind of mix. Well, yeah, it's great to see. It's just not – I mean, that's not going to be the reality of this Yankees team. I mean, Voit being hurt again, that's another problem. I mean, that's – again,
but don't you think that's kind of going to be a recurring theme now at this point?
It feels like it. And he was hurt last year too, and I give him credit, he battled through it and led the majors in home runs.
He barely walked last year in the postseason.
See, but he would have been a guy. Like, you got exactly what you needed out of him. He would have been a guy during the offseason, and we talked about this, that I would have looked to move at the height of his value.
They had a bunch of those guys. Andujar was that guy a couple of years ago, and they didn't move him either.
Oh, because you felt like Andujar, I mean, until he hurt himself, was going to be a part of your long-term future. No one expects Gio Urshela to step in and turn into what Gio Urshela turned into. But, I mean, Voit, I mean, there's not much room on this team, financially and roster-wise, to start adding very much. So Voit felt like the guy, okay, yeah, he's been great for the Yankees, and it was an awesome find by Brian Cashman, but why not use this opportunity if you're going to give LeMahieu, you know, a longer-term deal, and we know he can play first base. Like, why not now, at the height of his value, look to maybe move him? And now all of a sudden I can put Gleyber back at second. I can address something at, you know, something at shortstop. Because there's not that many moves to be made. I mean, nope. Hicks was going to play center field. Judge was going to play right field. It was clear that Frazier, they felt, earned the left field job. So there wasn't much that you were going to be able to do. I thought Brantley, that we talked about that, Brantley would have been a great signing.
Would have been a great signing.
Lefty Schwarber, bat. Someone like that would have been a nice signing. I mean, don't they have to at some point? Like, maybe Joey Gallo feels like the guy. He's an on-base guy. He's lefty. I mean, come on. I plays the outfield.
But I think that the Yankees are probably one of a couple of teams that are interested in Gallo.
No, I understand that. I just mean as far as what you're looking for.
Yes, it makes mm-hmm. perfect sense that Gallo would be a great addition to this team. Of course.
So, I mean, this is...
I mean, he's perfect, right? He's either going to strike out or hit a home run. He fits right into their plans.
Well, no, but he's... I mean, he's like a Brian Cashman dream. But he's, I mean, hits for power, lefty, on-base percentage, high on-base percentage. I mean, he feels like the guy that would fit.
There's no way they don't go for it, right? I mean, what are we? Today's July 19th, so we're 12 days away from the deadline. Unless they, you know, just fall apart here. There's no way they're not going to add pieces at the deadline, don't you think?
No, yeah, they got to make a move, Dave.
I would add now. I wouldn't even wait.
Well, now you need it.
That's what I mean. I mean, if it's something you're thinking about, might as well just do it now.
Right. If you're going to do it on July 27th, you might as well do it July 19th.
Look at the Braves. Look what the Braves just did.
Right? They bring Jock Peterson in immediately.
And they bring in a catcher, too. I mean, that's because that's part about being a GM, too. And Chris knows this, like when you get to the deadlines. Every one of the players and coaches is sitting around trying to figure out what does management think about this team? How do they feel about our chances? And if they choose to sell, that's okay, they've given up. Or like you do what the Braves did. How do you think the Braves clubhouse felt about losing Acuna?
I'm sure they were devastated. Yep.
Devastated. And now all of a sudden, the GM decides, you know what? No. The Mets didn't run away with this thing. I'm going to try to get better. That brings an added life. The life that you're talking about that you saw from the Yankees the last couple days, they need more of that. They need to believe that the Cashman and ownership feels like they can make a run. Because a lot of times you watch this Yankees team, it doesn't feel like they believe it.
Oh, God.
No, it doesn't. No. But you know what, though, Rico? Maybe these young guys being called into action could be a blessing in disguise in terms of them being able to be a catalyst, kind of bring some energy into that clubhouse and get this thing jump-started. Because if they're able to get on a roll, if they're able to beat the Phils and then beat the Red Sox this weekend, like, who knows what that can turn into once the guys that you know you're going to be relying on down the stretch come back. Like, just try to build a little bit momentum. You know what I mean? I know that they say in baseball, momentum is the next day starting pitcher, but just try to create good vibes around this ball club because for the majority of the first half, it's been all negative, and they've been hearing it. So let's just have a little bit of positivity. Let's add some wins, and we'll see what happens. I feel like that there's the potential for something like that to take place with this Yankees team right now.
I got a roof for the Yankees starting tomorrow against the Phillies.
Yep.
My Yankees
pom-poms. It's getting a little tight. Right? It's getting a little bit tight.
Well, yeah.
You're getting nervous. I don't like it.
Philadelphia,
I don't like it at all.
Games. Atlanta's right there.
Yeah, but I mean, you've heard every single team in the NL East are going to be buyers because the Mets didn't run away with it in the first half.
And they should have.
And now, this is what happens. You let teams hang around, now the Mets are dealing with all sorts of stuff. Oh, it's going to be fine. You know, guys are starting to get healthy. We'll get a chance to see this lineup. Nope. Now we lose Lindor. And now who knows what's going on with DeGrom.
Mm-hmm. And Lindor says he's week to week. Forget about day to day. Like, you're not going to see Lindor for a while.
It's a grade 2 oblique strain.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, didn't Guillerme miss like 2 months with an oblique strain?
He's going to miss a lot of time.
You knew it was bad when he didn't bust it down the first. You knew it was going to be something bad.
That's huge. That is a huge loss.
Huge loss. And I, you know what I heard? I was disappointed too. I heard a lot of Mets fans. Oh, you know, they'll be fine. It's, you know, he's a 220 hitter. He's not. He's terrific.
Well, what do you mean be fine? Okay, it's not just him that you're affecting though. Too apparently he's Edwin Diaz's security blanket. So what is he going to do now? You have to. I don't understand what's going to happen.
I don't
now.
Know what you do now when Diaz goes in the game. Does he have?
Who's he going to use for emotional support? He's going to use for emotional support,
right? Put the earpiece in. Go ahead, you can do it.
A pitching coach? No, no. Send out Lindor.
That's right. He's 2-2.
He's got a calm
spot. What do we do, Francisco? Go take a visit.
That's back to back too. By the way, we kind of just brushed aside that one before the All-Star break. The attempt at the 5-out save, pushing him too hard.
Yep.
That's back to back now.
They push their relievers a lot. Oh my God!
What, so it's only going to get worse.
40. You got one out from Walker yesterday.
Well,
it's
only going to get worse.
It's only going to get worse. Off tonight.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like Stroman's giving you a ton of length.
Nope.
And you got no DeGrom. I mean, he was kind of the one that gave you that the day off of the bullpen.
And you don't even know what you're going to use tomorrow.
No, yeah, it's TBD.
How good is McGill, by the way?
McGill has been great.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN. It's DCR.
At what point do we get into your penalty kick situation that I watched this weekend?
And this is what I do. I set myself up for mockery, and that's fine. But I mean, you're like angry about it for some reason.
No, I'm not angry. Here's what I'm angry about is you go into that clearly not having warmed up at all. Your first kick was awful.
Let's go. That was a terrible shot. That's 0 for 1.
Did I not tell you that the first kick was awful?
Barely rolled to the goal. It was awful.
Third shot is a terrible shot. It's embarrassing.
This is DCR.
I feel like this is embarrassing. I'm somewhat winded from shooting penalty shots.
On 98.7 ESPN. From your roommate back in Boulder,
we ain't ever getting on. All right, the big 6 o'clock hour. DCR with you, 98.7 ESPN. Time now for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. You know, you shoot a soccer ball over and over and over again, and you can become a little bit winded.
Oh, especially happens. When you run from 20 yards behind the soccer ball.
You know what? I was trying to give myself a big lead up.
There was no chance you were making it. You had to score at least one in those first three.
And then it totally fell apart. Totally fell apart. By the way, I was thinking as I heard Debbie's traffic, and she does a terrific job. In fact, there's many times we're getting into really deep sports conversation. I'm wondering what she's actually thinking at the moment. But she talks about the Vince Lombardi rest area. I would love a rest area to be named after me.
For what reason?
That's random as hell, Dave.
Well, because I was thinking about... Well, no, it's not random because she said that. Why? Because I love to lie down. I love to rest. I love relaxation.
Well, you know what happens at a lot of these rest areas, right?
Well, no, I don't want... I'm not trying to promote that. I like to nap.
Exactly.
You want a Dave Rothenberg
no,
glory hole?
No, I'm saying I like to rest. I enjoy resting.
Every time I hear rest area, I think of something about Mary when he picks up 7-minute abs. What happens if someone comes up with 6-minute? Can't even get a heart rate up in 6 minutes.
He gets so angry.
Let's see if we can do it. I mean, we talked about it enough. We had a day. I mean, NYIT had a Dave Rothenberg day.
I don't think any rest area. But some of the rest areas you drive by, you're like, I never heard of this guy.
Maybe we make that a mission.
Right? Like, there's the Cheesequake rest area? That could be the Rothenberg rest area.
Well, I think you got to donate money. What if you probably donate enough money, you get a rest
How
area.
How much? Like Joe Cheesequake donated a lot of money? A
lot of money. Joe Cheesequake is a big deal. I don't know if you know that.
Is that right?
I think so.
I don't know. I would love a rest area. And you know what? At my rest area, I'd want big screen TVs on the wall. I'd want Lazy Boy recliners. I don't
want your rest area to be like a sports bar.
I want a sports bar rest area. Yes. I want the NFL package there at my rest area. Yeah. I want it to be the rest area of all rest areas. Absolutely.
It goes back to your confidence, though. It's amazing. You see Vince Lombardi, and you're like, yeah, if Vince Lombardi has a rest area.
I should have a rest area,
if
too.
If some schlub like Vince Lombardi could have a rest area, why can't I have a rest area? No. I'm hardly comparing myself to Vince Lombardi. I'm merely saying that it sounds like something that would be within my wheelhouse.
Yeah, we got a, I mean, Dave Rothenberg rest area. We got a sports bar, like Chris mentioned, bunch of TVs, NFL package, the whole nine, Lazy Boys, you name it. Maybe some blackjack tables sprinkled in. Oh, now we're talking. That. Now we're talking.
Oh,
nobody would ever
that.
Leave the rest area. Nobody
Some
would
slot
go
machines.
Home.
Be a sleep area. Yeah,
everybody
but that's just,
would stay.
That's what I'm saying. You pull off the road. You need a quick nap. You want to, you know, have an adult beverage. Maybe get a rub down. This the Rothenberg rest area is for you.
A rest area that promotes drinking. Yeah, that's what we need.
Promotes gambling, drinking, and massages. It's great. First customer, Robert Kraft. I'm here for the massage.
I think it's a brilliant idea.
Well, I mean, the way you describe it, I don't know. I mean, that's, yeah, it's not, I mean, any place like that would be a brilliant idea.
Exactly.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a rest area.
Right?
You just make a Dave Rothenberg sports bar somewhere.
You know what? Now you're thinking.
We'd have to find the appropriate state where all that's legal.
Here's my thought about the sports bar. You're sitting there. You're watching the game at a Lazy Boy. The waitress comes up and brings you your food, and then they're people that massage you, and they walk up on, oh, Mr. DiPietro, would you
what
like
you
a massage?
Chic? What? What are you, a chic now? It sounds like, I mean, you put this in Dubai?
No, we want this to be classy.
Yeah, it's like a drive-in, except you're not in your car, you're in a Lazy Boy.
The Dave Rothenberg Gentleman's Lounge.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Right.
Yes. Forget about
Hand
the rest
fed,
area.
Sports, massages. It sounds like, I mean, it's a dream is what you're explaining right now.
And you have a wireless handheld device that you're gambling on as you are watching this, getting massaged, eating bacon.
So you mean your phone? So your phone then? The wireless
that,
handheld
or that,
device?
Yes.
your iPhone then?
Right. Yes. Yes.
And then you have this wireless device that changes the channels for you without even getting up.
A remote.
It's a remote control.
Yes. Yes.
It sounds like heaven.
I'm stumbling on something here.
But it sounds like heaven, what you've described.
Yeah, it's too good to be true.
It's what everyone wants.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Let's provide it for them. All right. You know what else might be provided for us? I think there's a chance that Dame Lillard winds up here with the Knicks. Here he is, fending off any idea that he's unhappy with Portland, saying the reports that you've heard are completely untrue.
I woke up to those reports, you know, a lot of people reaching out to me, but it's not true. You know, I'll start off the rip and say it's not true. I said the last time I spoke to you guys that a lot of things are being said and, you know, it hasn't come from me. So, number one, it's not true. And secondly, I also say that I haven't made any firm decision on, you know, what my future will be. So, there's really no need for anybody else to speak for me or report this or report that. You know, if it's something to be said, as I said the last time, I'll speak directly with my team and with Neil. So, you know, that's that.
How telling is that, though? He doesn't come out and say, you know what, I'm a Blazer and my intent is to be a member of the Portland Trailblazers. He says, I haven't really even thought about what my next move is going to be. I think that's pretty promising for him to get out of Portland.
You know, it's the first time you've heard this, right? I mean, everything you usually hear from Dame Lillard is that he wants to be in Portland, he wants to win in Portland. But, I mean, it's not happening for him. I mean, this Portland team is not good enough to win a championship.
No chance.
So, I don't blame him one way or another. I mean, if he decides he wants to be traded or not, I mean, he's at a point where he's got to at least put pressure on Portland to upgrade around him. Otherwise, why would you stay?
How can they upgrade to the point where they're going to compete with the teams in the West?
Not in the Western Conference. Yeah. I was just about to say that, Dave. There's no chance that they're going to be able to do that. And they had a come-to-Jesus moment a couple of years ago when Dame expressed that he was unhappy and he wanted the organization to do more. And, I mean, we're sitting here, and a couple of years later, they're still no better in terms of being closer to competing for a chip. So I understand Dame Lillard wanting out of Portland. I also understand why he's not going out there and saying anything on the record, because it doesn't do anything for him. It doesn't serve him to come out and confirm all of the grumblings that he wants out. Like, if you want to get a deal done, just keep everything quiet until the deal is actually done. Then he'll find what he's looking for in terms of a landing spot where he can actually compete for a championship.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though, as far as the Knicks are concerned. I mean, if he's trying to win a championship, with the amount you're going to have to give up to get him, unless he brings someone else with him, I mean, what are your chances?
Well, you're not winning a title if you just bring him, but don't you think the Knicks become even more of a destination for somebody if you have him and Randall together?
For who is my question, though?
I don't know. I don't have the answer right now.
Yeah, I don't think anyone does. I mean, unless in Kawhi just got his knee done. So, I mean, that was kind of like the pie in the sky thing, whereas, you know, Dame mm-hmm. all of a sudden he comes and brings Kawhi with him.
Yeah, but I think it would have to be a similar situation to what we saw, Rico, when Kawhi decided that he was going to go out to L.A. and they were going to trade for Paul George, too. Like, it's going to have to happen at the same time. There's no way that Dame Lillard is going to force his way out of Portland, be traded to an organization, and then trust them that they'll eventually put the talent that he needs around him to get the job done. Like, it's all going to have to happen in one fell swoop.
Yeah, but, I mean, you're giving up. And it depends on what does Portland want to do? I mean, if they get rid of Dame, I mean, at that point, you're rebuilding.
They're punting on trying to win anything now, yes.
No, I mean, well, as far as what I mean is, do you go, like, do we want to replace Dame with, you know, somebody that's already established? Like, would we go, you know, Dame to a team where we're getting, you know, someone not as good as Dame, but, like, Ben Simmons back? Like, would we do something like that? But Ben Simmons still makes a ton of money. For what? Like, I mean, what is Portland trying to do? Are they looking to rebuild and go young?
I would think they want draft picks to rebuild.
And they probably want to go young, right?
I would mm-hmm. think so.
All right, so it's going to be, I mean, the Knicks trade for him, it's going to be your draft picks and your young talent.
Yeah, it's going to be RJ Barrett, Obi Toppin, draft picks. That's what you're going to have to package together.
Mitchell Robinson.
Sure.
So, I mean, if I'm Dame Lillard, I don't know. Like, unless I have a pretty good feeling that someone else is coming with me, I don't know if, as much as a Knicks fan, you would love it. I don't know if that's necessarily where I would. Like, if all of a sudden Golden State had some crazy offer where it was Wiseman in their draft picks, and that was the potential to go to Golden State or the Knicks,
well,
where
yes.
are you going?
That's a more attractive place to land, yes.
If it's the Knicks or the Sixers, where are you going?
The Sixers.
Sixers.
So, I mean,
but that's a big if.
No, I know it's a big if, but also, I mean, what you got to recognize, too, is it looks like Milwaukee probably going to win the championship now, right?
And I told you. I told both of you.
Phoenix.
Told you.
Game four was the series. The fact that Phoenix lost, and then they had an unbelievable first quarter, and then
they let Milwaukee score 43 in the second quarter and 36 in the third.
I don't know how Paul even moves on from this, to be honest with you. Like, you are.
He was bad, Dave. He's was bad in game
terrible.
Five. He was bad game four.
He's been terrible. But, I mean, we talk about this guy can't win the chip. He's up 2-0. They're up 2-1 and have a golden opportunity. And now they're here on the brink of elimination, down 3-2, heading into game six on the road?
Yeah, in Milwaukee.
Awful.
Chris Paul, if he loses the series, Chris Paul, when he's up 2-0 in series, if they lose this series, it'll be 5-4.
Up 2-0?
Up 2-0.
Where you should be winning it like 90% of the time.
Yeah, that's not great.
Would be almost 500 in series.
No, and he's getting. I mean, it's gotten progressively worse for him.
Yes, they're clearly a better team when Campaign is on the floor. They are. I hate to say it like that, but they are. They play with better pace. It feels like there's more of a flow on the offensive end. Chris Paul is just—he's a liability, man. He really is. I mean, he can make big shots, but still, like with the turnovers on offense and then being abused on the defensive end, I don't know, man. I want it to happen for him, but it certainly doesn't feel like it's going to happen.
It really doesn't. And Milwaukee looks like they're going to win the championship, and what a run this will be, huh? Fire the coach. They can't win. They're getting blown out by Brooklyn, and now they're a game away from winning the whole thing.
Hey, you take advantage of your opportunities. I mean, it's what they've done. They've been resilient,
man. A lot of credit. Very resilient.
Yeah, those guys, I mean, listen, Giannis has been Giannis. You know what I mean? Like, the fact that he's even back after what his knee looked like when he hyperextended it, I give him all the credit in the world. And then, I mean, game five, you know, Holiday, you know, he stepped up, man.
What
Holiday
a play.
Stepped up.
Yep. That play was
Middleton
amazing.
Played well. I mean, I was looking at, you know, watching that game. So Giannis, Holiday, and Middleton scored or assisted on 92 of the 100 points through three quarters.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's serious from a big three like that.
That's a big three.
And that, I mean, that game was then, it was the Devin Booker show. It was like, here, man. Here, Book, here's the ball. Like, go make something happen.
You know, he was making some tough shots, too. He made a lot of tough shots.
Yeah, he's a good player. That's unfortunate, too, in that moment, too. And then I get it in the moment, but Jrue Holiday with the steal. They come down, lob to Giannis. You don't, at that point, like, Giannis is already up in the air. Chris Paul doesn't need to follow him there.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, it's a three-point game if Giannis puts that down.
Right.
But when you give him the and-one opportunity, you just make it worse.
Well, and they got the ball back. He missed the free throw, and they got the ball back,
yep.
Which is even worse. But at least, like, as bad as that turnover was, now all of a sudden you're down three. If you don't take the foul, you're down three, and you got a timeout. You want to, you know, draw something up.
And at you least, at least have a chance to put it in the overtime. You have a chance.
That's what happens, though. They let game four slip away, and now all of a sudden...
That would be the one that haunts me, the game four.
Of course.
Because you would have wrapped it up at home in game five.
Yeah, but you let this team hang
I know.
Around.
You can't let teams stay around. See, here's the thing. If you're like the beginning of LeBron, you know, the Cavs, something like that, or even the Heat when he started there, you're like, all right, we're going to be back. I mean, you don't know that Phoenix is ever going to get back here.
No. I mean, it feels like one of those one-off years. Like Milwaukee, I mean, they still got one of the best players on the planet. And maybe Booker turns into one of the best players on the planet. But, I mean, Chris Paul's not going to be on. I mean, how much longer does Chris Paul have?
It doesn't look like a lot.
Okay. So, I mean, when you look at Phoenix moving forward and you look at the West, I mean, the Lakers
the
will be
a
back.
I mean, listen, there's probably a better chance they don't get out of the first round than win the championship next year.
Who knows? Like, I can't sit here and say that. I don't know. I mean, DeAndre Ayton looks like he's on the verge of becoming
terrific young player,
a star. You got Devin Booker. I mean, you got Cam Johnson. They got good players.
Just saying, you never know, and you have an opportunity, and you let it slip away.
Exactly right. You never know.
I think that'll haunt you.
But it's one of those situations too, where I mean, I don't know what the reason is. People want to say condensed schedule, starting right up after the bubble, whatever it is. But a lot of teams were hurt. You played a lot of teams that were hurt.
You had very good fortune, yes.
Very good fortune.
If the Lakers are healthy, you're probably out in the first round, let's be fair.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Here it is. It's what you've been waiting for all show long. It's a new segment we call Canty, Canty.
Everyone's favorite. Can he or can't he?
Thank you, Captain Obvious.
Ah, yes. I'm going to try and keep my words to a minimum.
Oh, I love listening to you today.
Talking, I
can. And it's all brought on by yourself, by the way. It's not like, you know, if you were ill, I'd feel badly for you.
No, definitely not ill. All right. So you guys spoke about it earlier in the show. The Yankees, they performed well, admirably even, against the Red Sox over the weekend, despite all they had going against them. The Yanks, a little bit of a status update. 7 games back of the Sox for the division lead. 3.5 now. A much more manageable 3.5 back of the wild card. The name that you guys were talking about, they've been linked to regularly, Joey Gallo of the Rangers. He's a lefty, gets on base, plays the outfield, checks a lot of boxes. But here's my question. Can you tell me what the Yankees have that the Rangers would want, if anything, to make this happen?
I can't, RJ. I can't. I mean, the guys that you thought would potentially be trade chips, like Clint Frazier and Miguel Andujar, Luke Voigt's name has come up. Like, those guys are all depressed in terms of their overall value. Maybe there's a reliever in there that the Rangers might want, but I couldn't tell you. I like the fit of Joey Gallo, especially with what we got going on in our outfield right now, but I don't know exactly what the Rangers would want from the Yankees roster right now.
Go ahead, Rick.
What are you still thinking?
No, I have my answer. I'm trying to be kind to you.
Oh, I appreciate that. Can we include Kevin Knox in the deal? How about Kevin Knox?
Yeah, and Mitchell Robinson in this trade, yeah.
Well, here's the thing, though. I mean, the other reason why this could potentially make sense is the fact that the Yankees have already worked with Texas on the Odor deal. So, I mean, they kind of know or have an idea of, you know, certain things that it would take. Right? I think Joey Gallo fits exactly what they're looking for. Big on-base guy, power, left-handed back, can play the outfield. Probably ends up being probably pitching, I would say. Everyone's looking for young, controllable pitching. Davey Garcia.
Yeah.
Although he struggled. I mean, this year he struggled in Triple-A, but someone like that. Michael King. I mean, it's just everyone wants young, controllable pitching right now.
Yeah, I think the Yankees, so you're going to go with
I think they can.
Yeah, I think they can as well. I think you throw a position player. I mean, listen, does Frazier have a ton of value? No. Andujar, no. But still, there's potential there. You throw that in with a starting pitcher, and I think you definitely have enough. I think you can make a play for Joey Gallo. I think that's very reasonable.
All right. Over to the Mets. Giving back some ground, but still tap the NL East. Division lead down to 2 games as of now. But Jacob DeGrom is out. Francisco Lindor is on the IL. Not good. Can we, at this point, still call the Mets the favorites in the division?
I'll say this. The Phillies do make me nervous a little bit. They've closed some ground. And then Atlanta making a move for Jock Peterson. They're trying to climb back in it, although no, Acuna is going to make it tough for them. I would still call the Mets the favorite. I would still call the Mets the favorite, but I'm not saying it with my chest right now.
I can say the Mets are the favorites solely because I listen, I don't believe in Philadelphia at all. Their bullpen is an atrocity, and after Wheeler and maybe a little bit of Nola, I don't trust their starting staff. So I'm not all that concerned about Philly. Atlanta worries me a little bit. They're below 500. I have to believe the Mets are going to add reinforcements at the deadline. I think they can absolutely win this division, and they are, in my mind, the definite favorites, yes.
I agree with Dave, although I'm starting to get a little bit nervous, in all honesty. And I don't know how you couldn't be.
Well, I don't know how you can't. I mean, you have Eichhoff and TBD against Cincinnati the next couple days.
Yeah, well, coming off the heels of your All-Star, Taiwan Walker getting one out. One out.
Right, so I got 26 outs for my bullpen yesterday, and now I have Eichhoff on the mound today.
Exactly.
Even if he's not good, he's going to have to eat some outs.
Exactly right. Well, I mean, the next two nights. I mean, he attacked your bullpen yesterday, and the bullpen was great. Especially, I mean, looping the sixth inning was to get himself out of the bases.
40 pitches yesterday, though.
No, I know. I'm just saying that was a huge inning. Getting out of that
terrific.
Inning was huge.
What a job that was, huh?
But, I mean, especially now, second half of the season, question marks about DeGrom. Stroman hasn't been giving you tons of length. Yeah, I mean, you're going to have to use your bullpen a lot. What makes me feel better is you're right. I think that Steve Cohen will not hesitate to add reinforcements.
All righty. The Milwaukee Bucks have won three straight finals games. One guy, boy, the narrative and the rhetoric around Chris Paul has gone up and down to incredible highs and lows. Right now it's low with the Sun. So I'll ask you this. Can Phoenix get to a Game 7?
Can they get to a Game 7? Sure. Do I think they'll get to a Game 7? Nah. I don't see it. So I'm going to say they can't. I'm going to say they can't. I don't trust Chris Paul. I've seen enough from this series, the way that things have kind of unfolded, games 4 and 5, it looked really bad. He's a liability on the defensive end. And then offensively, it just seems like the team responds better with Cameron Payne at the point as opposed to CP3. So I'm going to say they can't, just because I don't see a better version of Chris Paul showing up for the final game.
So the choices are Canty or Canty. And I will say, I'll say they can force a game 7. Listen, I'll pat myself on the back and say that I'm the one of the show that said that Milwaukee still has a real chance to win this series. I think they will. But it's not like they're a juggernaut. I wouldn't be shocked if Phoenix won a game 6. So I think they can win game 6 and force a game 7.
Yeah, but in saying what you're just saying, so now you're telling me that they're going to go back to Phoenix and they're going to win the second road game in the series?
Who, Milwaukee?
If you feel that good about Milwaukee, you better hope they close this thing out in 6.
No, all I'm saying is that when you guys said the series was over and we're going no further than 5, I said I disagree with that, and I think you still see a long extended series, is my point.
Yeah,
well,
but
no,
we didn't think Chris Paul would
point,
be what
but
he's
in the,
been.
In the
listen,
moment,
I'm not looking
Chris
for excuses.
Well, no, in the moment,
I noticed a crack in the armor, and I went after it.
No, you took a shot in the dark.
Oh,
you
come on!
The series is over if Phoenix wins game 4. They blew it.
But they didn't.
No, they didn't, which is exactly why Milwaukee's going to...
So you sit here and saying it could have, would have, should have. They didn't.
Well, I mean, listen, if you're going to jump both feet in Milwaukee and you got to shoot, you should be picking them to win in 6.
I do think Milwaukee's going to win. He said, is there a chance Phoenix wins? Yes, I think there's a chance.
Of course
Phoenix
there's a
wins.
Chance.
I mean,
what kind of...
That was the question. I'm playing the game.
No, you're playing the game.
The question was, can the Suns get to a game 7? Of course
yes.
They can. But don't take it as a literal sense.
Well, listen, I'm taking it literally. Yes, they can win a game 6.
He's ruining the game, RJ.
Yeah,
I'm
really
not ruining
are.
The game. The game is ridiculous.
This is replaying baseball, what you're doing. It's not. You're not carrying out the intended reason.
You know what? I'm sorry. It's the neighborhood play for me. I think you've ruined the game. I think New Orleans and your weekend has ruined Canty Canty.
I want Dave suspended from Canty Canty.
That's fine.
For next week.
I'm off next week. That's fine.
Fine. Does everyone feel good about their answers? No. Can we move on?
Yeah, we can move on.
Okay. Last one. ESPN.com is a ranking of the projected offensive line pass win rate for this upcoming season. So basically, can you protect your quarterback is what we're getting here. The Giants, well, they play in the NFL. They are on the list. they rank last on the list. So
yeah, that's not great.
Can we really project the Giants' offensive line, even if it's just pass block win rate, to be the worst at something in the league?
No, we can't say that the Giants' offensive line is going to be the worst or have the worst pass block win rate. Have you seen the Pittsburgh Steelers' offensive line lately? That's probably going to be the worst offensive line in football. But I would say this. I'm optimistic about the Giants' offensive line because they got a lot of young guys. They got a lot of experience under their belt last year, particularly in the second half. And I like the idea of Matt Parrott stepping in and playing right tackle. I think that that's going to give them a really athletic tackle tandem to be able to protect Daniel Jones, provide a firm pocket. So I would lean toward that group being markedly better than what we saw in 2020.
I'm not going to say it either. I can't say it, and I won't say it. And I'll tell you what. If we get through this season and the Giants' offensive line is a sieve, I'm going to have a nervous breakdown, and I'm going to personally, verbally attack Dave Gettleman all year long. I mean, I heard about hog mollies when he joined this team. The offensive line still doesn't look like it's going to be very good. So it's going to go one of two ways. It's going to be good, and the Giants are going to win games, and I'm going to be happy, or it's going to be bad, and you're going to see me lose my you-know-what every single week.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left!
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.